لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم ثم إلى ربكم ترجعون ولو ترى إذ المجرمون ناكسوا رؤوسهم عند ربهم ربنا أبصرنا وسمعنا فارجعنا نعمل صالحا إنا موقنون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear respected elders and brothers, many a times we have experienced this situation where the phone rings and we get the tragic news of an accident or we get the tragic news that somebody is in hospital. We have to leave everything, we leave all our work, etc., and we rush to the hospital. We go there to the hospital and we find the person is in ICU. The person is in a very, very critical situation. The doctors are trying everything of the best. They're trying to administer the best of medication to him. And you'll find all the family members gathering. They will surround the person. Some start to recite Surah Yasin. Some are making talqeen of the kalima. And some are crying. The wife is crying. The children are crying. And everybody is surrounded there. And they're watching this person who is now in the throes of death. Is in Sakra. Everybody is trying. The doctors are trying. They've tried everything possible medically. But eventually they have to pass on the sad news to the family that the person didn't make it. Now whilst this entire episode is carrying on, everyone is surrounding the person that is now in Sakrat. The person that is in Sakrat is oblivious of everyone around him. He sees to recognize those people that are around him. He is in a different state altogether. Family is crying, father is crying, son is crying, daughter is crying. But that person is oblivious of their crying. He is in another state completely. He is witnessing the angels coming down to him. He sees the angels coming down. For those that are pious, those that were Allah conscious, who live their life in conformity to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they see the angels of mercy coming down. On the other hand, the disbelievers, the sinners, and those who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they see the angels of azab coming down. It is reported that Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, the entire dunya is like a tray, like a saucer in front of him. He has a host of angels that are at his command, that have been employed to obey every command of his. And they have to go around and look for those whose time is up and eventually extract their ruh. So the angels come down. Malak al-Maut is there to supervise the entire scene. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ When the person's time is up, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّتُونَ In both these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make mention that the angel of death comes. In the second verse which I recited, other angels also come. They come there and they begin to diagnose or analyze the situation of that person who is in Sakrat. In Sharh al-Sudur, in that kitab, it is mentioned that a group of angels come whose specific task is to diagnose or to analyze the situation of that person who is dying. And they do it by smelling the person. First they start off by the head. They smell the head of that individual to see if there is any Quran in there. Then they smell the stomach of that individual to see if there's any athar, any effects of fasting. Then they take a test of the hands and the feet to check if there is any effects of salah in there. And when they find that there are effects of salah, there is effects of fasting, there is effects of the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they usher the angels of mercy there. In a kitab it is mentioned, Abu Qalaba rahmatullah alayhi, a very pious person, says that he was present at the bedside of his nephew when his nephew was in Sakrat. He found two very dark figures standing and waiting there, and about to get hold of his nephew, when two angels came down and they did this test and this diagnosis of this person. First they smelt his head, then they smelt his stomach, they checked his hands, and then they said, it is very, very strange that this is an ummati and we find no asars or effects of Quran. We find no effects of fasting, and we find no effects of amal in his life. And then they open his mouth and they squeeze his tongue, and then the angel exclaims and he says, yes, I can get a little fragrance of musk coming out of this. Then he says that it seems that he took part in the battle of Antakya, and when the battle was raging, with sincerity he uttered the word Allahu Akbar. And because of that, I can get some fragrance of musk. So he chases the angels of Azab away and he ushers in the angels of mercy. He says, okay, he was a believer, take him and go. So at that time, this person is experiencing, the person is in Sakrat, family members are all crying. He is oblivious of them. These angels come down. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, once he asked the angel of death, tell me, how do you take out the ruh of individuals? The angel of death, Malak al-Maut, Hazrat Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam, said, oh Ibrahim, you will not be able to bear the severity of it. He says, no, please show me, how do you do it? Just show me the appearance in which you come to them. He says, okay, I will show you. Turn around. Says, okay, now look here. When he sees, immediately Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam falls unconscious. When he regains his consciousness, he says, that what a horrible sight. What a horrible sight he saw, that if there was no other azab, no other punishment besides this, it would suffice for the wrongdoer. Then he asks him to see, he tells him, okay, look again. He shows him a most beautiful appearance. Such a beautiful appearance that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had never seen such an appearance before. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, if there was no other reward, but just beholding that form that Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam adopts when he comes to take out the life of a mu'min and a believer, that is sufficient reward for the person. So the angels come and they take out the ruh and the soul of that individual. They say the pain that he experiences at that time, there is no words that can describe the pain that the person experiences when the ruh is being extracted from him. The pain is unbearable. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that the ruh is extracted in stages. First, the ruh is pulled out from the feet. The feet starts to go cold. The body, half the body becomes paralyzed. Then the ruh is pulled up to the chest. And that is when a person becomes speechless and he cannot speak anymore. Then the ruh comes up to the throat and now he stops seeing and hearing also. Even his sight goes away and his hearing goes. His eyesight becomes fixed. He is now looking at another realm, into another world. He's looking into another world. And then eventually that ruh of his is extracted. In one hadith it is described that it is as though somebody is striking you, or many people are striking you with 1,000 swords at one given time. That is when the ruh is being extracted. Then when the ruh is taken out of the body, the angels carry it up. If it is a good soul, a soul which was beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that of a believer, it is taken up into the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that soul is taken up into the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the other souls to go and welcome the soul. In fact, they all, cluster around, they all rush towards the soul. The angels have to stop them and say that, you know what, give him a break, give him a chance. He has just undergone the traumatic experience of his soul being removed. So give him a chance, give him a chance. Eventually, when they settle down, they ask him and they want to know, the souls want to, they ask this soul with regard to other family members and other relatives that are on the earth. How are they? What is their position? And at times the reply comes from the soul that has just reached there. The reply comes that that person has passed away many years ago. And then they exclaim in regret and in remorse, they exclaim and they said, but that soul hasn't reached us as yet. Hasn't come here onto our side. Perhaps he's gone onto another side. Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin. And further down Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla inna kitab al-abrari lafi illiyin. That those that are evil, those that never obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their souls are taken to sijjin, which means a prison. Commentators of the ahadith etc. explain and they say that that sijjin is below the earth, below the seven earths is that sijjin where these souls, the evil souls are kept. And the illiyin is just below the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above the seven heavens. And the souls of the good ones are kept there. That is the alam barzakh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it. Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin. And in another verse, Kalla inna kitab al-abrari lafi illiyin. Although here it is spoken about the kitab of the evildoers, the book of deeds are already kept there. The records are already there. And the records of the good ones are already in illiyin. When their souls go, they will go to meet up with the records of theirs and their books over there. So this person is on his journey. He is on his journey to the alam e barzakh, into the next life. Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatuhu. When a person dies, then his qiyamah starts already. The person goes into the qabr, the body is put into the qabr, and you find that he is already being questioned there. Yes, different amals come to his assistance. The Quran comes to his assistance. The salah that you performed comes to your assistance. The tilawat of the Quran, the zikr that you made, all that comes to your assistance. It is reported that at the time of Sakrat, when that person is going through the severest of pain, Shaitan comes and he tries his best to rob you of your iman at that time. May Allah save us from that. At that time, Shaitan comes and he tries to rob you of your iman. If a person was particular with his 5-time daily salah, the angel of death, when he comes, he chases Shaitan away. He chases him away. And the angel of death makes talqeen of the kalima himself for that person. We have been encouraged that when a person is in Sakrat, recite Surah Yasin at his bedside. Recite Surah Rad. Because that is all, these ayats of the Quran, of this surah, establishes the tawheed and the iman of the individual. It already explains with regard to the akhirat. And it strengthens the belief of the dying person. It strengthens the belief of the dying person so that he doesn't fall into the trap of Shaitan. And then make talqeen of the kalima for him. One pious lady was leaving this world. And her nephew happened to be there. She asked the nephew, who was an alim, that when I meet my Allah, what should I say? So he says, you must say, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. And a hadith of Rasulullah SAW confirms this, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angels to come and take out the ruh and the soul of a pious servant of his, Allah sends salam to him first. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in response to that salam, you must say, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. So the soul is now on its way. The good ones, Fortunate enough, may Allah make us from amongst them go to Illiyin. The unfortunate ones will go into Sijin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. Every day now in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects us and Allah save us. But whilst the kafan and the dafan is the kafan and the janazah is being laid down, the family members surround the body and they are crying. Mother is crying, son is crying, daughter is crying, wife is crying. Wife is crying, a lot of tears. But sometimes she is crying not out of grief, to a certain extent out of grief for the separation, but not out of concern for the disease. She is crying more for concern of her own self. Who's going to pay my rent? Who's going to pay the lights and waters? Who's going to put the food on the table? She forgets that husband was only a means. Allah was the provider. The son is worried, the daughter is worried, who's going to pay our school fees? Who's going to pay the university fees? My father was supposed to buy me a car for my birthday. I was supposed to get a new cell phone. He is sitting and crying. One is okay, the grief of the separation, but also the worry and the concern is that what's going to happen to our dunya? Very seldom you'll find them crying and worried what is going to be happening to my husband in the onward journey. What is going to happen to my father on his onward journey? Is my father going to answer positively in the qabr to the questions of Munkar and Nakir, or my father is going to fail in the test? They're not crying over that. Many a time they're just crying grief of separation. You'll find the person will say on the day of the janazah, I just spoke to him now. I just spoke to him a while ago and now he's gone. A person will shed a few tears, then the wife will cry, the son will cry, they'll cry for a few days. They'll cry for a few days, perhaps a few weeks, perhaps a few months if the bond was very, very strong. For a few months, etc. Thereafter, life will carry on. That person journeys alone into the next life. He left behind suddenly, he left behind his mansion. He left behind his car. Suddenly he left behind all the wealth, all his credit cards. He didn't even have the opportunity of telling his children exactly where and where he invested all the money. Where he buried all the money, he didn't tell them also. He didn't get the opportunity. He just went so suddenly, leaving everybody dumbfounded. But hatta idha ja'a ahadakumul mawtu tawaffathu rusuluna wa hum la yufarritun. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُكُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When your time is up, you will not be given a second's grace also. Not even 1 second's grace. Immediately your time is up, you have to leave. You leave behind everything with you. Everything that you had, you leave behind. You only go with your kafan into the qabr. And when you sleep in the qabr, you sleep all by yourself. Your wife will still be sleeping with her children. There will be other family members that will sleep over that night. There will be other family members to console her. There will be other family members to console the father, to console the daughter, to console the children. But who is going to be there to console us in the qabr? The wife will say, Mera kya banega? They will not worry about saying, Tera kya banega? The wife is going to say, what is going to happen to me? Son is saying, daughter is saying, nobody is concerned what is going to happen to you in the qabr. But whilst everybody is around the janazah and they're crying and they're grieving, Malak al-Maut comes and he stands by the door. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says that the angel of death comes and he stands by the door. And at the door he makes an announcement. And he says that, see, I did not deprive this person of his rosy. What he was supposed to get, he got right till the last morsel of food, right till the last drop of drink. He has got that. Allah had decreed it for him. He got what he had to get and now he had to leave. I didn't deprive him of his rosy. Neither did I deprive him of even a breath of air, a second of his life. What Allah had already decreed for him, he already got that part of his life and he had to leave this world. This was the command of Allah and I had to fulfill the command of my Allah. And then he says, Hasan Basri rahmatullahi quotes this and he says, then the angel of death announces and says, I will come back to this house again and again. I will come back again and again until no inhabitants of this house remains. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says that if the people had to hear the announcement made by the angel of death, they would leave the disease and they will worry about themselves only. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the sahaba that had it not been the fear that you will stop burying your dead, I would have showed you what happens in the qabr. I would have asked Allah to show you what happens in the qabr. I would have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the realm of the barzakh or the life of barzakh would have been brought before you. But I fear that you might stop burying your dead also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once an Ansari asked him that who is the most intelligent of people? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the most intelligent of person is that person who remembers maut and death the most. That is an intelligent person. One ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That when Allah wants to guide someone, Allah opens his heart to Islam. Then explaining it further, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah enters the nur and the light of iman into that person's heart. And then you'll find that like a radiance on his face. The nur of iman you'll find on his face. So the sahaba ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah, how do we know that this nur has entered a person? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tajafi an dar al-ghurur wal-inabati la dar al-khulud والاستعداد للموت قبل نزوله. That when a person starts drawing away from the dunya, from this deceptive world, darul ghurur, this dunya which is just glitter and glamour for nothing, it is so deceiving. There is nothing really to it. It is so deceiving. When a person starts drawing away from this deceiving world, and he starts turning more towards the akhirat, his heart becomes more inclined towards the akhirat. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. And he starts preparing for death before it comes upon him, before it dawns upon him. Many of us have such high hopes in life. Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala who says that certain people, they surprise me to the extent that it makes me laugh at times at them. That they've got such high hopes. They've got so high hopes as far as dunya is concerned. Yet maut is right behind them. Maut is right behind them. They live a life of ghaflat. They are ghafil. But they are neglectful. But the angel of death and the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not ghafil of him. They are not unaware and unmindful of him. Daily they are taking a stock of us. Kiram and Katibin is noting down our deeds. And the angel of death is checking on us on a daily basis. Every day they are taking note of us. We live a life of neglect, of carefree. That is insan, we tend to forget. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising us that be intelligent, be hushyar. Don't become neglectful. Remember maut. Remember your death. Then Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala says that certain things make me sad. Asked him, what is it that makes you sad? He said, separation from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, because they had passed away before him. He said, I grieve over the separation from my beloveds. And then the thought of maut, of death, when I'm going to leave this world, how am I going to leave? And then the thought of that day when I will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sahabi making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after praising Allah in beautiful words, says, Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu wa khayra amali khawatimahu wa khayra ayyami yawm alqaka fi. Oh my Allah, make the last part of my life the best part of my life. Oh my Allah, make the last of my action the best of my actions. I mustn't be in ghaflat. In other words, I mustn't be unmindful and in a neglectful state where I die in a condition that my Allah is not happy with me. I'm involved in such an action. I'm in zina, or I'm in adultery, or I'm in deceiving, or I'm doing something wrong and my maut comes. What is going to be my condition? And he makes dua, Allahumma ij'al khayra ayyami yawm alqaka fi. Oh my Allah, make the best of my days, that day when I will have to stand before you, oh my Allah. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, daily used to get ulama to come in his majlis. Get certain ulama or different ulama, and speak to them and say that remind me about maut, about death. And they used to explain about mort, and they used to explain about death. And he used to say that I want to prepare for death. But when his beard started growing white, and he saw white strands in his beard, then he said, right, now it's enough. You don't have to come and remind me. These white strands reminds me enough that it's time for me to leave the world now. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Remember often mort. Remember often death. That which is the cutter off of all pleasures. It just cuts it off. Wherever you are, you still got hopes. You still got a hope of going on a holiday. You've booked your holiday from now already for December. You have already booked your trips here and there. You've already got all your business schedules and your meetings scheduled for two, three months in advance. But you don't even know when you are. You don't know that maybe this minute, this second, a few moments from now, a few days from now, you will have to leave this world. The pious used to say that when we perform salah, we make one salam, we don't have hope of making the second salam as well. Yet we live a life with such long, long hopes. My son must become a doctor, my son must do this, must do that, they must get married first when the tashkil is made to go out in the path of Allah. No, let me fulfill all these things and then only I will go out when I am more free. No person gets free. No person gets free. Yes, we will live in the dunya, we will earn, we will study, we will become doctors, we will become lawyers, etc. But all the time remembering that mort is just there behind us. That mort is there, never becoming ghafil, never becoming unmindful of that mort and that death. A person has to be conscious of mort and death all the time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the hearts get rusted. The hearts get rusted because of gunas and sin. Allah speaks about it in the Quran. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Because our day-to-day activities, our looking at wrong, our hearing wrong, our doing wrong, the hearts tend to get rusted. So somebody asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the polisher for the heart? How can we cleanse this heart and polish this heart? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بِكَثْرَةِ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ وَتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. The two things will polish your heart for you. One is remember mort. As much as you can, remember death. The ulama explain and the mashayikh say that daily we should make muraqabatul mort. Daily we should think about mort and about death, that we are to leave this world. There is no doubt in the matter. Even the kuffar accept this. Those that deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also accept the fact that they have to die. But we are people of iman, we know when you die, it doesn't stop there, it carries on further. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dhikrul maut wa tilawatul Qur'an. Kathrati dhikrul maut, remembering maut in abundance. Let us remind ourselves all the time that I have to leave this world. When you see a janazah before you, somebody asked one sahabi, that whose janazah is this? He said that it's yours, if you don't like what I'm saying, it's mine. He said, this is not the time to check now whose janazah it is and what. Just follow the janazah. Make the janazah salah, and that janazah must be a lesson to you that tomorrow yours can be carried like that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding, give us tawfiq, that to remind ourselves constantly about mort and about death. This is the Mubarak month of Ramadan. This is the time when we should remind ourselves that we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before that mort overtakes us. The first thing that we have to do is make tawbah. The first thing we have to do is make tawbah. They say when a person remembers mort often, Allah will bless him with three things. One is this, that he will be ta'jil li tawbah. He will be very quick in making tawbah. Very quickly he will make tawbah. Person committed guna and sin. He doesn't sit back and he relaxes. No, he's worried, he's concerned. I have to leave this world, I have to face Allah. I rather make tawbah now. Immediately he makes tawbah before mort can overtake him. So ta'jilut tawbah. Allah will bless him with that if he remembers mort often. The second thing is this, that qana'atul qut. He will be happy and contented with what he has. He won't run too much after dunya because mort is running after him. He won't be too much after dunya. He'll be contented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And the third thing is nashatul ibadah. He will be ready for ibadat. Not when Tarawih starts the first few nights we are there, and we come back the last few nights after that. First we got josh, then we behosh after that. We unconscious. And in Urdu there are more words. It's called sargosh. And there's one more word, khargosh. Sargosh is you go into hiding. And when the brothers come to look for you, then you hop like a rabbit. Khargosh is a rabbit. Then you start hopping after that. So we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity, that this lifetime that we have, this lifespan that we have, we should use it for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we remember maut, then we'll be ready for ibadat. But when a person forgets maut and forgets death, then he will be punished with three things. The first is taswifit tawbah. He will procrastinate tawbah. I'll change, my time will come, I'll change. Many a times you hear a person saying, when my time is right, I will change. Who knows when is the time is right? We don't know whether we're going to leave or not. The second thing is that a person if he doesn't remember maut, he will be very lazy with regard to ibadat. But takasul fil ibadah, he'll be very, very lazy as far as ibadat is concerned. And also, he won't be happy with and contented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, so he will chase dunya all the time. In order to be conscious of maut, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed, if you want a death as a shaheed, every day, 25 times a day, you must remember maut. And the best way is by reading, Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. After every salah, if you read it 5 times, then you will be fulfilling that 25 times a day, and inshallah, Allah will give you maut and death on iman and as a shaheed. Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. 25 times a day we should read. So let us make tawbah. Let us become particular with our 5-time daily salah. Recital of Quran, tilawat of Quran, this is the month where we can start and also keep it up after the month of Ramadan. And also fulfilling the rights of others. We don't have the time to go into that. We had a few points to give as far as that is concerned. But don't usurp the right of any person. If we usurp the right of any person, then that will become a source of great distress and problem for us in the hereafter. If you owe anybody anything, pay him off now. Pay him off now before maut comes to you, because it will be very difficult for you after you leave this world. And daily we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death on iman. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.